الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بدأ الإسلام غريبا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. On one occasion, as narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh, and as we covered in Fajr, I think last week, Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ عَلَى بُرْدَتِهِ. He was sitting upon his shawl, مُتَّكِيًا عَلَى الْكَعْبَة. He was leaning against the Kaaba, and he asked, Ala tad'u Allah lana? Will you not call to Allah for help for us? And will you not seek His assistance for us? When the Messenger of Allah, and I think I mentioned this hadith last week as well, the week before as well, that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he sat up. And when he sat up, he became visibly upset. And when he became visibly upset, he began to reprimand Khabbab radiallahu anhu. As I mentioned before, Khabbab radiallahu anhu was that specific sahabi who used to be a blacksmith, whose master, she was someone who despised Islam. She hated Islam. And when she found out he became Muslim, who remembers what did she do to him? Good. So she used to cause pain to his head by actually warming the iron that he used to use to make swords. He used to put that on his head, and he used to take the coals and heat them and lay them upon the ground and make him, force him to lay down upon it until the fat from his body or the flesh from his body would melt and cool the stones. And this is why Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw the back of Khabbab radiallahu anhu, began to weep. Because he never saw a back like this. Now in it he would see these deep holes penetrating into his back. So when he saw this, when he said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset, and he said that there were people that came before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them such that they would be made to dig their own graves. And then a saw would be run down the center of their head until they fell into two pieces, and that's how they passed away. But they did not go back from their iman. And there are people who came before us, who were made to dig their own graves, and a comb is a bad word, maybe a rake, a metal, bil-hadid, made of iron, rake would be drawn over their body, and the hadith mentions until the skin would tear off, then the flesh would tear off, and then bit by bit things would tear off until only bones remain, and they would pass away like this. Then he said, I swear by Allah that there will come a time in which a traveling woman will journey from Sana'a to Hadr al-Maut in Yemen with nothing to fear except for the wolves. And then he said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ, rather, unfortunately, you are people, تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, who have a lot of ajal, who have a lot of hastiness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions another hadith, الْأَنَاتُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that having forbearance, having patience, having foresight, these are characteristics that are pleasurable to Allah. وَالْعَجَلْ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and being hasty, having ta'ajil, trying to be quick to do things, this is from shaitan. Shaitan likes us to make rash decisions. Because usually when the person makes a rash decision and does not think it through properly, a lot of bad things happen. You're at work. The boss blames you for something that is not your fault. You get back to your desk and decide to write an angry email. And what's the principle at work? You never send an email when you're angry. Because why? This is ajal. And when a person is hasty, they might send something that they regret sending. They may say something that they regret saying. They may do something that they regret doing. And this is ajal. This is what, these are the characteristics that ends up getting a person in trouble. You're at home. Your husband or your wife forgets something important or does something to upset you. And at that moment, a term or a few terms or some phrases come to the mouth. And rather than thinking over, we justify and we say those terms right away. When has that ever brought back a praiseworthy result? When was the last time you or me, I've reprimanded my wife, and she comes and says, Jazakallahu khairan. Now that you got angry with me, I'm going to become a better person. When does that ever happen? When was the last time a wife goes off on the husband and he says, you know what, you're absolutely right. I'm the worst person in the world. I'm a scumbag. And I should become better. Even teachers, when they get upset with their students, when's the last time the student walks away saying, SubhanAllah, my teacher got so upset with me, I'm going to change forever. In most cases, they sit there in their heart with thoughts that run through, he doesn't understand, what is he doing, what is she doing, etc. Al-anabzu min Allah. Having this deliberate nature is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take things deliberately is from Allah ta'ala. وَالْعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And this ajal is from shaitan. Because he loves when we act without thinking. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people who are very quick to react. Now one of the difficulties that we're facing today is that in the grand scheme of things, we have become lower than others. Now historically speaking, someone has always been low. That is the nature of the world. When the Romans were on top, when the Byzantines were on top, the Persians may have been lower, the Arabs may have been lower, the Africans may have been lower. When the Africans were on top, when you read the history of Kankan Musa and Mansa Musa, there was not even the existence of the Americans yet. They were not on top. When the Arabs were on top, the Europeans were scared. Every people, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ مُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days. They alternate between mankind. This is the nature of this world. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, if this world was always about the best of people being on top, from the moment the Risala was given to the Prophet ﷺ, the moment he was told, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, at that moment the entire world should have turned upside down, the believers should have reigned. But it didn't happen that way. When Isa ﷺ was the last prophet from Bani Israel, from the lineage of Ishaq ﷺ, the father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, has two sons, Ibrahim and Ishaq alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam only carries one prophet in his progeny, which is who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Ishaq carries a prophet in his, from his sons. Who is he? He's Ya'qub. Ya'qub's other name is what? Israel. And he has 12 sons. And these become known as what? Bani Israel. So from the Banu Israel, what do we see? Now we see that prophets kept coming to the extent that in narration we see sometimes 70 prophets would be killed in one day by the Bani Israel. So Isa, Al-Masih, he was the last prophet from Bani Israel, alayhi salam. And when he comes, if truth was sufficient to be the means by which everything comes to the top, then what would happen? Everyone would have become followers of Isa alayhi salam. He had very few followers. The Hawariyun, they were the followers of Isa alayhi salam. He had a handful of followers. People began to incline towards him. Then his deen began to spread more. But at the moment of his time there, before he was, بَرَفَعَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ لَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, he was not killed, he was not crucified. Some sort of likeness was created of him, and there's a whole explanation regarding that. When that happened, there wasn't a huge following of what we call the Christians. There wasn't. Every people, when Musa alayhi salam was given the message, and he said what? To give him a wazir from his ahl, to give him a supporter from his family, Harun akhi, that give me my brother Harun. What happened? Did he go to the Pharaoh? Did the Pharaoh say, you know what, you're right. You're absolutely right. Let's all follow your Lord. That didn't happen. For years upon years upon years, they were chased. They were killed. What do we know about Fir'aun? What do we know about Fir'aun? That we see, he used to kill the children of Na'akum wa istahyuna nisa'akum. And he used to leave the women alive. He used to make them into slaves. This was his act. This is what he used to do. This is the nature of the world. Some people will be on top, some people will come down. Islam was the same way. Bada al-Islamu ghariba. Islam began as a very strange, by strange, a foreign religion. They were not used to it. They were not used to giving animals rights. They were not used to being told how to use the restroom. They were not accustomed to be to giving women a status that was equal to them. They were not accustomed to giving women any inheritance at all. They were not accustomed to all of these things. It was difficult for people to grasp that. And slowly it began to permeate into the threads of society, and people began to see the benefits of it. The fathers who would kill their daughters and bury them alive, in the Qur'an were asked, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُوذَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Then the fathers began to think, what was I doing? Because in the Day of Judgment, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُوذَةُ, when the daughter who was su'ilat, when she will ask, this daughter who was buried alive, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, for what sin was I killed? When these things began to cause them to reflect. Now in the time in which the people were furthest, were most aggressive in attacking the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give permission. The verse Udhina, the verse that comes in Surah Tawbah begins with Udhina, the permission was granted. First of all, it means permission. This verse was not revealed to the Madani period. What we see is that initially we were told to what? To have patience and to be firm within our existence in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the resolve that existed inside the heart of the believer when they were not permitted to fight was so strong that when we see Allah ta'ala saying al-an, then now what? خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ, Allah ta'ala did takhfif for you. He made things light for you. When this lightness occurred, that was actually when the Muslims were larger in number. But the strength of the believers' original phase came from their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this week there's been some claims that there was a Muslim from Milwaukee who was involved in a plot to try to do some destruction and carnage within our greater Milwaukee community. I'm not here to condemn the brother. I'm not here to, and I'm saying brother, yes. I'm not here to say that he had a poor upbringing. I'm not here to call the family out. People who are doing that right now, I ask you to not do that, please. People make mistakes in this world. People make mistakes. When the man who killed 99 people sought reformation, and he found one person who was an abid from Bani Israel, and he asked him, is there any hope for me? And he was told that there's no hope for you. He was killed. 100 people he consciously killed. Not just plotted. He was a mass murderer. He was a terrorist. People would see him, they would be afraid of him. He killed 100 people, Allah Ta'ala granted him forgiveness. He may have a higher maqam than any of us on the Day of Judgment. We do not know. So I'm not here to call the brother out. And I'm saying brother because although I do not believe in his beliefs, and I do not think what he was plotting, if it's true, because we're told in Quran, when a fasiq comes forward with news, You have to confirm that news to be true before you accept it. So I'm not here to pass judgments. What I'm here to say is that many people are beginning to get a lot of tasta'jilun within themselves. They begin to think, I have to act quickly and hastily. If you see the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to conquer Masjid al-Aqsa. Did he ever conquer Masjid al-Aqsa in his life? No. He wanted to make the Jaziratul Arab all Muslim. Was he able to do that within his lifetime? No. He wanted to make Makkah al-Mukarramah the center of worship for the world. Was he able to take full control of Makkah al-Mukarramah for the majority of his life? No, save for 2 years. We are people who work for the long term. We do not establish means to try to get things done right away. Because why? Al-ajratu min ash-shaytan. This ajr. Kalla bal tuhibbun al-ajila. Allah Ta'ala says what? Rather you begin to draw near this idea of being hasty. Where does this come from? We see in Surah Qiyamah, even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would try to memorize the verses very quickly so he would not forget it. Allah Ta'ala said, don't worry about it. I will put this within your heart. I am the one in charge of preservation. Preservation of the deen is something Allah Ta'ala has taken upon himself. It is not our responsibility to make sure that the deen never dies, because we cannot do that. Our responsibility is to do our best to make sure it doesn't die. There's a difference between the two. If I'm a doctor, and someone comes in and he's coding in the hospital, and I begin to do chest compressions, mouth to mouth, I give him whatever that things where you shock the chest, you do all the procedures possible, and then for 30 minutes you spend time on that patient and you cannot bring him back to life, you would be far-fetched to think that there would be one person to say you were negligent and you caused him to die. You made every effort, but the person's time came to an end. The person's time came to an end. It is the effort by which we are accountable. When we see the Tartars ransack Baghdad and cause some of the most treasured pieces of literature to be cast within the seas until various proofs of our deen have forever been lost, what happens within only a few decades? They all become Muslim. Because the people, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. They did not give up hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a test for those people, and perhaps a punishment. And then what happened? The men were killed, the women maintained their deen, they continued to maintain their deen. Many of the men who took these women by force as being wives from the Tartars, subsequently did what? They married them, they had children, they saw an etiquette in adab never found before, and they became inclined towards it. Eventually, the Tartar rule became Muslim, and many of the household had Islamic principles, they were able to easily venture into this deen. We are not people of sudden and immediate gratification. We are people who recognize it takes time to accomplish things. So before a person decides, I'm going to go and do some serious damage and show the world the power of Islam, and in reality they're showing the world the stupidity of themselves, the reality is, what should they do? We should all take a step back and think, what would our Prophet do? When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had the opportunity to take the necks of people at Fathul Makkah, he did not draw his sword. When he had the opportunity to lay waste to city after city, he took such a small percentage of people. He never killed a person in battle, first of all. But within battle, such few people were killed that it makes up less than 1% of the entire population he faced in battle. Less than 1% died in battle in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. We are not people of carnage, and we are not people of hastiness. We understand it takes time. It took time for places like this to be built, where we can have what used to be a church become a masjid. It took time to have people who can come in congregations in this country. It takes time. It took time. Many of you remember when you moved here, there could not be a hafiz of Quran to lead Tarawih prayer. It took time. It took time. That is natural. That is the order of things. Allah tests us through that time to see who will be able to carry out the responsibility. And I believe firmly that if you carry out your responsibility of being people who are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are people who call to the deen, but do not take upon their shoulders aggression in any manner, in order to prove something that was never spread by aggression in the first place. I guarantee if we take the proper steps according to Sunnah, there will be a revolution. People's hearts will be changed. And when the hearts are changed, it's much more powerful than when the bodies are changed. Because when the limbs act and the body does not agree, eventually there is a type of conflict that arises. But when the hearts have changed, then the body follows. عَلَىٰ إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَى. In the body, there's a mudgha, piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ جَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. When it becomes sound, what happens is a reverberating effect. The entire body becomes sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ جَسَدُ كُلُّهُ عَلَىٰ وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those that have proper understanding of the deen. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who act in a way the Prophet ﷺ would have acted, with bravery, with courage, but with intelligence and devotion. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.